This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Build Forward Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Tuesday morning. What a fantastic basketball game if you are a Knicks fan. Yeah, it was ugly at times. We saw a lot of missed shots, make or miss league, the whole thing. But my goodness, when they are down 20, we were actually texting each other. I was furious with Karl-Anthony Towns. I was annoyed. I was thinking about going to bed when they're down 20 and saying, screw this, they're going to get swept. And then they fight back. They fight back. They fight back. Porzingis goes out. OG Anunoby gets hot in the third quarter. Jalen Brunson in the fourth quarter. In the overtime, Mikal Bridges is everywhere. And the Knicks have one of their most memorable playoff wins in a very, very long time. We were just had no memories of good Knicks basketball for almost two decades. In the last two playoff games that they have played, I'm never going to forget. Great start. Got to keep it going. Celtics definitely helped the Knicks out last night, but that was phenomenal. Overtime game winner up 1-0. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I couldn't open the show any better than that. I mean, and look, well, I didn't get much sleep last night. I mean, this is insane, these overtime games, but I'll take it. You know, this is what I take out of this game last night. Number one, the Knicks are a resilient bunch. They busted their ass in the third quarter. They kept it close.
Jalen Brunson is an amazing basketball player, especially on the offensive end of the court. He hit so many big threes late in this game. It was amazing. And then watching, you know, a couple of players who the Knicks have paid and also traded for, Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, come up huge in these spots. This is why you acquired these guys. Now, they've got to continue to do it. But there were a couple other things that I saw from the Celtics' perspective that may hurt them moving forward, which is good news for us as Knicks fans. Number one, nobody's talking about it. Sam Hauser, sprained ankle. I don't know how bad that is. That's a big part of their bench.
Right, when he committed a foul on that play.
It was a three-point shot foul that hit two out of three. But he's out. I don't, you know, that looked like a serious ankle injury. Okay, so that hurts the Celtics moving forward. That's what we were talking about. If they get an injury here or there, now we were talking obviously the big three for them, but I would say that with Porzingis being ill last night, Hauser getting hurt, now all of a sudden their depth is really pressured. Now their depth actually scored more than the Knicks' depth, but it was nice to see Miles McBride come off the bench and hit three three-pointers. That was good. That was a thing that, you know, had been missing in the previous series. So, you know, they steal one last night. You know, I think that probably helps their confidence. And then finally, from a Celtics standpoint, I don't really care about the Celtics, you know, but if they're going to keep playing this way, which is the way that they play, just hoisting up threes, it's like such an easy way of playing basketball. Like there's no tenacity or intensity associated with that. And if they're going to miss the amount of shots that they miss 75% of their three-pointers.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen again.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's insane. But more importantly for the Knicks moving forward, number one is I'm sure Porzingis will be healthier come Wednesday. I'm sure they're giving him IVs and everything else.
I don't know, man. He's been dealing with this for a majority of the season, and it's been this recurring illness. So I don't know if it's such a lock that he's going to come back and be 100% because this has been bothering him most of the year.
All right, so if that's the case, then that's another break for the Knicks. But the Sam Hauser thing is huge, and nobody's talking about it. I mean, that's a big loss for them. He plays a lot of minutes, comes off the bench. He's part of that second wave of Boston Celtics players like Peyton Pritchard.
Mm-hmm.
And, and the fact that he went down, that now cuts into their depth, and now everybody's playing a little bit more, a little bit longer. And I think also when you take a look at the NBA playoffs, three road teams stole game one. And I would say that they stole game one just simply because the other teams were sitting around for about a week waiting to play. So whether or not this will continue, that's anybody's guess. But I think the fact that you have already an injured Boston Celtic player and Porzingis ill for whatever it is, to me, that's the opportunity. The door is open now. The opportunity is there for the Knicks to see if they can win this series. I don't necessarily know that I would have felt that way if a couple guys didn't get hurt last night.
Well, I mean, we said over and over again throughout the entire season, even during the Pistons series, give us a reason to believe that you could beat this team. And two things happened. And the Knicks played well enough and came back and gave us a reason. And also some of the injury things that happened last night with Hauser and Porzingis giving us a reason. And Reggie Miller was bringing up a lot of the time. It kind of reminded me, or made me think, that Reggie Miller has more information on Jaylen Brown being hurt than he wants to say, and he's just dropping these little hints like, he's really not elevating as much as he usually does. If you watch him here, he just doesn't look the same. And so he may not be 100% as well. And that's the type of stuff that you're going to need to be able to beat the Celtics, is a record-setting, horrible night from three and injuries. And I have to say that OG Anunoby is the second best player on this team, and I don't even think it's close. I love this guy. Karl Anthony Towns is supposed to be the second best player on this team. OG Anunoby, with his defense, his clutch threes, the way that he carried that team offensively without Jalen Brunson during the regular season, this guy, I could not love him more.
And this is why the Knicks traded for him and gave him the huge contract.
Yeah, and by the way, Mikal Bridges, who we've been all over, and rightfully so, I mean, this guy was playing like this was the last basketball game he was ever going to play in his life last night. Defensively, every single minute, maximum effort from him. So
yes,
all the respect goes to Mikal Bridges as well.
When you and I were texting each other in the first half, it was missed free throws, it was turnovers, and it was missed shots. Mm. Those things are driving us crazy. And the Knicks players got to realize, Mitchell Robinson is a guy that needs to throw the ball to him underneath the basket, or alley-oop it to him. You can't throw baseball passes to him. He's like an offensive tackle running down the field and you're trying to throw him a pass. I mean, he can't. That's just not his game.
Yeah.
His game is in around the basket and a little bit of help on defense. And I did get a little annoyed last night with the Hack of Mitch thing, because it really is bothering me. I was going to send you a text. I didn't do it. I don't think I did. I don't know.
Not with Mitchell Robinson.
Right. So I was going to send you a text. Man, they need to get rid of this guy. They're going to get killed. But at the end of the day, when you look at the statistics in this game, he was a plus 13.
Yeah, I mean, and two things I don't think are going to happen again in this series is the Knicks being that bad from the free throw line and the Celtics being that bad from three. I can't imagine that's going to happen again. Although, if Mitch is out on the floor as much as he was last night, and they keep doing what they were doing and putting him on the line, then they may have that horrific free throw percentage. But, it was amazing. You went from a game where they were getting boat raced and blown out to a game where you're like, they can't lose this. They can't blow this game. If they would have lost this game with how bad the Celtics were from three-point range, I would have said, you can't beat them. It's impossible.
But
you can't beat them.
Those late threes by Brunson were...
Yeah,
I mean they were swish, swish, swish. It just kept coming.
I mean, he's unbelievable. Everybody talks about the clutch player thing. Just incredible. I've never felt more comfortable with the ball in a guy's hands as a Knicks fan. Like, I mean, because he's always got the ball in his hands. He's bringing the ball up the court. We've talked about, you watched Clyde all those years ago. I did not. you know, the Knicks were struggling to find a great point guard.
We haven't had a great week drive with Stevie Francis, Steph Marbury. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
I've never felt more comfortable with the guy with the ball in his hand.
This is one of the great great moves in Knick history, one of the great free agent signings in Knick history, and he certainly has answered the bell. Now, look, they got a long way to go. They've won five out of what they need, 16 to get a championship. And like I was saying yesterday, one possession, one quarter, one half, one game. And you just never know how these games are going to play out. And to their credit, in the third quarter, they were amazing. I mean, they just kept hanging around, hanging around, hanging around. And then Boston kept missing shots, kept missing shots. They were getting rebounds. And then all of a sudden, Jalen heated up. Ananobi heated up. Mikal Bridges hits a huge three.
I mean, that whole turnaround was predicated on how well they were playing defensively. They were all over the place. They were giving maximum effort. They were closing out on the three-pointers. They were making sure that when they played their best defense, it was to defend the three, and they were giving up a little bit more when the Celtics wanted to drive to the basket, and that mentality and that strategy ended up working for them.
Do you know the Knicks actually made more three-pointers than the Celtics did?
Yeah, with the Celtics shooting 61 of them, right?
Yeah, so the Knicks buried 17 three-pointers. The Celtics buried 15 three-pointers. They missed 45 three-pointers, obviously an NBA playoff record. I mean, to me, the three-point shot, as I've often said here a million times, is easy basketball. Unless of course, you got a cross over, throw it through your legs, and then fall back and get yourself away from somebody like Jalen Brunson seems to do a lot these days.
Yeah.
Which is really a testament to his shooting prowess and his ability to do it in the biggest spots. But, I mean, that's lazy basketball. You know, shooting that many three-pointers, 63-point, that's just lazy basketball, and especially when the Knicks are in foul trouble.
I mean, there's really no bigger disparity in sports with a team looking great and a team looking terrible than in basketball when a team's making threes or missing threes. Like when the Celtics won the NBA Finals last year, being better than everybody at shooting the three ball, and when they do it well, you know, it's unbelievable to watch. Not quite as good as the Klay Thompson, Steph Curry years when they were doing it, but I mean, it's like that. And when they miss, I mean, it's the ugliest thing you've ever seen, and the Knicks took advantage of it.
Especially when it goes into overtime, and you add more three-point shot attempts, and it's just, can we expect them to do it differently? I mean, I'm surprised that Joe Mazzulla didn't say, like, hey, Carl Anthony Towns has got this many fouls. This guy's got that many fouls. Just keep hacking, Mitchell Robinson.
Well, also, I mean, when you're up 20, why are you, like, hurling threes every single possession? I mean,
it's insane. I know. So they played into what the Knicks had to have happen, so with the illness to Porzingis, with the injury to Hauser, with their awful shooting, their awful decision-making, and allowing the Knicks to get back into the game, it's a credit. And, we have two wing defenders that are supposedly trying to stop both Tatum and Brown. You know, that's why Ananobi and Bridges are here, is to stop those two guys.
Yeah.
And I got to say that I don't know if they totally stopped them, but They had their hands in their face. They were contesting balls, and the fact that Bridges makes the steal at the end of the game,
he was unbelievable in overtime. He hit the big three.
You talk about Bridges also with the hustle and everything. Mm-hmm. There was a sequence in the beginning of the game where Josh Hart, smallest guy on the court, is up there and he gets double rebounds, double offensive rebounds, and he's just going up and getting the ball. I mean, like, that's the attitude that we saw last year. That was the team that we fell in love with last year. That guy getting those rebounds early on and feeding them out, and I think it was Jalen Brunson hit a three after either Bridges or somebody else missed an opportunity. But that hustle, because in the beginning, there were a couple breaks that the Celtics had, like breakaways. And it was like guys were watching their shot and then forgot to cover Tatum running down the court.
Yeah, there was too many offensive rebounds for the Celtics to my liking as well. They got that second and third opportunities late in the game, and it didn't end. They missed so many threes, it didn't end up killing them. There's one other thing that, I mean, you can spin this any way you want, half glass half full, glass half empty. I mean, the Knicks were able to do what they did last night with a zero from Karl Anthony Towns again, essentially.
Well, he had 13 rebounds. I mean, he had 13
still,
rebounds.
I mean, this guy was out of the game most of the time.
He was out of whack.
Foul trouble. He's just, I mean, it's unbelievable.
All right, so listen, I don't want to really belabor that point. They won the game.
No,
you remember the great Al Davis?
Yeah, no, I understand
that. What did Greg Al Davis say?
They said, just win, baby, right?
Yeah, that's what he said. Right, just win, baby. It doesn't matter how.
No,
just win.
I said you could look at a glass half full, glass half empty if you'd like. It's just they were able to win when that guy had
has to be a half full scenario.
Right. Just win, baby.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
I told you it's a memorable
nobody says
win.
It better than Al Dukes.
He's still frustrated.
Just
the hell
win,
out of me.
Baby.
One more time, Eddie.
Just win, baby.
Yeah. All right. That's all that matters.
I understand, but if you want to win a series, he's got to get his head out of his ass.
You know, if I could actually put a like an emoji on our texting back and forth, it would probably be the exploding head emoji.
You love the exploding head emoji,
right?
Yes.
I like that. Or the mean emoji.
Yeah, mean face emoji.
Where you got the tape over your mouth and it's got the X and all that stuff there. Because you just want to curse, you want to scream, and you want to yell.
Yeah.
And there were times where we got to that point, I think.
Yeah. But here this morning, we are not at that point.
This is why they play the game, Jay.
Riding high. And if you want to steal one, you want to get one on the road,
go
you
get another
did that.
One. Now go get another one.
You already did that.
Be
now
selfish.
The next one's
get
gravy.
Another one.
Yeah.
No, not that's gravy. Go get it.
No, next one's gravy.
No, gravy. No. We're not talking about gravy.
Spot. Yeah, next one's gravy spot.
They're going to have to win a game seven in Boston.
Okay.
And they could do it.
Well, if they win game two, then maybe they don't even have to worry about that.
Listen.
That's why I said it's a gravy spot.
I'm just telling you right now, it's not a gravy spot. There's no such thing as gravy. Right now.
Definitely gravy spot.
Right now, it's your dig-in spot. This is a dig-in spot.
Okay. And they will dig in. I'm just saying, if you lose, gravy.
No, you got to dig in,
man. If you win, it's gravy.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. There's nothing more satisfying than getting like an hour sleep after a game like that. I swear to God,
the game ended at like 9:55. Why would you only get an hour sleep?
Because I'm like jacked up. You expect me to fall asleep right after that?
Well, I mean, I expect you to fall asleep before 3 a.m.
I was tossing and turning.
It's unbelievable.
What do you mean?
Well, it's just not healthy.
I know, but it's, let's face it, as Knick fans, we haven't had moments like this, many of them.
Yeah, we've been very unhealthy.
I'm just thinking, by the middle of next week, I don't know where we're going to be, but right now I just want to enjoy it. And I just want to say that, you know, you said you were activated. When did you say you were activated for this team?
I actually never did.
You never said, or
no,
you
I
were
never
not
said
activated.
I was activated. I mean, I'm activated because it's the playoffs, but I didn't declare an activation. You know what I'm saying? Like I did with the my other teams. I haven't declared an activation with them, but I mean, I'm activated. It's the freaking second round of the playoffs.
So you are activated.
Well, of course. How could you not be?
You didn't declare an activation.
I didn't, but it doesn't mean I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but normally you declare an activation, and you just didn't in this case. And that's amazing to me.
I didn't. I mean, I think it was really, if I was going to pick a time, it was the game one against the Pistons, because the regular season had gotten boring for everybody. So that's the activation. The activation was for the Knicks, too, themselves. That was their activation. So that's probably when it was. And now we're at full activation. Up 1-0 on the Celtics in the second round.
Sure, I'm sure that I would think that up in Boston, they have to be annoyed with the way that this team performed yesterday. But again, like I said, all three underdog teams that started on the road in the semifinals of the NBA playoffs stole their game one, basically. You know, OKC lost, Cleveland lost, and Boston lost. The three best teams in the NBA all lost their opening round or opening game in the second round.
Yeah. 7-game series. We'll see who prevails.
Now the question is, can Golden State do it to Minnesota tonight?
Sure. Why not?
I don't know. Minnesota's probably the biggest team in the NBA.
They're big.
They're very big.
Big and tough.
Big.
Big, thick, you know?
Gritty.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Incredible game one last night up in Boston. Knicks win in overtime. Jerry's here with all the highlights and the post-game sound and also the baseball stories from yesterday and last night. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, we are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And I do agree, Carl Anthony Towns wasn't great offensively, but he did have a pretty big play in overtime.
Brunson will make a move. On the fly, another miss. Oh, by Towns!
Towns tips it in. Carl Anthony Towns with 14 points.
And that was Kevin Harlan on TNT. Reggie Miller there as well. That tip-in made it 108-102. 108-105 was the final score as the Knicks beat the Celtics in Game 1. A game that they trailed by 20 in the second, trailed by 20 with 6 minutes to go in the third. Here was head coach Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was a great team win. We started well, then we fell into a hole, then we fought our way out. And then we made tough plays down the stretch. I think that's huge for us.
Tough plays by Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby making big shot after big shot. Here was Jalen Brunson on Anunoby's performance.
Definitely sparked us, and just the way he's been playing, not just in the postseason, but all year. And, I mean, I have the utmost confidence in him every time he's up on the floor on both sides of the ball. So, it's what we expect.
Anunoby had 29, as did Brunson. But as Josh Hart points out, we had to play an extra 5 minutes because of that Brunson guy.
Yeah, he should have won it in regulation. like I said, clutch player of the year for a reason.
Yeah, he certainly did.
Yeah,
play
I can't
well.
Believe that shot didn't go down.
Everything about it looks perfect.
I mean, it really was the perfect play. Towns had a great pass in that situation. He had all the room he needed to do what he needed to do. It just rimmed out. It's crazy.
Just didn't make it. Here was Tibbs again. This was on Bridges, who didn't score much but made a lot of his TV is showing the play. It looks so good. Just doesn't go in. Bridges didn't score a lot, but he made a lot of winning plays.
Mikal came up with some big-time rebounds in traffic and then the steal at the end. And so whatever we have to do to find a way to win, that's the most important thing. So don't get wrapped up in any personal dilemmas or anything like that. Put the team first and just find a way to win.
And Deuce McBride, by the way, 11 off the bench. As for Boston, the story now. 15 of 60 from three-point range. Jason Tatum, 4 of 15. Jaylen Brown, 1 for 10. Derek White, 5 of 16. Here was Tatum just hoisting up threes.
Yeah, probably some times that we settled, I think, for myself. Put more pressure on the rim. There was a lot of times we felt like we got some really, really good looks, and we just couldn't convert.
And so the Knicks take game one, game two tomorrow night. You also had a road team win in the West. Two nights ago, Indiana won in Cleveland. Knicks win in Boston last night. Then Denver goes into Oklahoma City. How about Jokic's night? 42 points, 22 rebounds, but it was Aaron Gordon with the biggest shot of all.
Rebound down to Christian Brown. You got to hurry. 8-7 seconds. Front court over to Westbrook. Left side, Gordon for the win. Yeah! 2.8 seconds left, coming back the other way. Williams from half court. Baked it, no good at the horn. And the Denver Nuggets shock the Oklahoma City Thunder in game number one.
That was Nuggets Radio.
That video looks like there. They're choking him at the end in celebration.
Yeah. Well, they were celebrating for sure. And Gordon finished with 22 points, hit a few threes, at 14 rebounds, 121-119. The final here was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Well, I guess we can't win them all.
We didn't expect our whole run to be sunshine and rainbows, and we know that. It's about how we respond, and there's nothing we can do about what just happened. So there's no point to have our head down or be sad about it or sulk about it. All we can do is be better for the next game, and that's what we're focused on.
And that'll be in game two. Tonight you've got game two for the Pacers and the Cavs. Warriors and T-Wolves open up their Western Conference semifinal in Minnesota. All right, the baseball story now. Mets and Diamondbacks played late, so we will start with them. Pete Alonso with a mammoth home run in the fourth inning, and then in the seventh inning.
1-2 the count. Thompson sets. Pitch to Lindor. Swinging a high fly ball to right center field. Carroll going back. He'll turn and just watch this one fly into the pool in right center field. A three-run home run for Francisco Lindor. His seventh of the season. The Mets cash in and more. 5-1 New York in the seventh inning.
And that was Pat McCarthy on Mets Odyssey Radio. They would have to hold on for a 5-4 win, but they did win the game. Tyrone Taylor, by the way, 2-for-3, a double, and a run scored. And Griffin Canning went 5. He allowed an unearned run. How about Griffin Canning? He's 5-1 with a 2.5 ERA.
Yeah.
If I would have told you before the season, one of these guys is going to have an ERA of 2.50 and the other guy is going to have an ERA of 10.1. One guy's Devin Williams and one guy's Griffin Canning.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess nuts. For Devin Williams. There's no question about it. He's going through it and has been going through it. But as far as Griffin Canning is concerned, I mean, like, he doesn't go through five innings. I mean, that's it. He goes five and they get him out.
Yeah, but those five have been really good.
As a fifth starter, though, he's been better
than what you could have hoped for.
Here was Lindor in SNY on his home run.
I was just trying to get the job done that I didn't do earlier in the game. It went out. I wasn't trying to hit a home run. I was just trying to hit something on this side so I can get the guy at home, and then Soto comes in and do his stuff.
Right. Well, Soto did, by the way, hit a rocket of a double last night. Was also walked a couple of times early. We mentioned the Alonso home run. You think the Lindor shot is a big one. Alonso just crushed the ball to left. He's played and hit the ball great so far. How come?
To be honest, I just feel like I just leveled up my consistency as a I just feel like I've leveled up my consistency, and I want to continue to hold on to kind of the feels and the adjustments pitch to pitch and day to day.
Hanging on to the feels.
You know what?
And it's working.
He's been, to his credit, he has been really consistent.
Been phenomenal.
I mean, he's had a couple moments where he's missed out, but for the most part, I would say 75% he's come through. He's been big. He's playing for a huge contract, and man, you know, there's no question that Soto has had an effect on this entire lineup. He may not be the guy that we know that he's going to eventually become again in this lineup, but you can't sit here and tell me that Lindor and Alonso have not benefited from his presence.
And how about your guy Francisco Alvarez throwing out the runner in the ninth inning, which was good to see.
Just can't hit.
No, but I mean, that was a big play.
Right now he can't hit.
Big play in that. Yes, fair enough. And also the three runs, it could have been, they could have given up a grand slam there in the eighth. They didn't, and a base running gaffe by Josh Naylor. And the Mets come away with a win. So they are 23-13 on the season. You've got David Peterson and Zach Gallen tonight on 880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio, 940 first pitch again. Meantime, the Yankees were humming along. They were winning 4-0. Carlos Rodon was phenomenal. 6 2/3 scoreless innings, only 3 hits. And then the eighth inning came, and Devin Williams went in and did strike out a couple of guys, but in and around that, he walked two guys and gave up a single. Bases loaded. Luke Weaver came on. He gave up a hit. It was 3-2. They said 4-0. It was 3-0. It was then 3-2, and then Xander Bogaerts came in to spoil the party.
Couple of men aboard, tying in go-ahead runs. Pitch, swung on, line drive, left field. Played on a hop by Bellinger. One run scores. Here comes Manny. He's going to try to score. He will. The throw's offline. Throw down to first. Back safe is Bogaerts. Padres take the lead.
Even the Mac attacks. Well, I don't know what that last thing was. Even the Mac attacks can't support this guy.
The Mac attacks?
Yeah, McPherson and McMonagle.
Oh, okay.
The Mac attacks. Yeah, those guys are Yankee sycophants.
And that's what they call themselves?
That's what I call them.
Okay.
When I turn them on and I listen to them, they're just, you know, glowing about the Yankees and everything. They can't glow about this. I mean, this is going to make Brandon Tierney apoplectic today.
Yeah, you might even use that word.
Yes.
That's why I use that word. Yeah, C-Mac is still all in on Devin Williams. He's going to be fine. Going to be totally fine. It's going to be all right. It was a great trade. Don't worry about it. So
is that what he's been saying? I told you.
Oh, yeah.
No, I cannot. You can't defend what's happening with him.
No, he can, and he is.
He is. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he can.
And this is the guy who's watched, you know, Mariano. With his own eyes.
That's right. Mm.
Probably the most poignant pitcher in his lifetime.
Here was Weaver. He gave up those hits. Again, put in a really tough spot, but in terms of giving up the hits out there.
Yeah, I had a chance to jump back and look at it and just not executed well enough. The circumstance really needed some true quality pitches and felt like it just didn't really get it to where it needed to go.
No, it did not. And in terms of Williams, you actually feel, you can hear it in his voice there. I mean, he is really disappointed, trying to say the right thing, says he's okay, but you can sense it.
I feel good, you know. I feel good. I feel confident on the mound. I felt like I was in a good spot. You know, it's one of those nights where you're not only battling the hitter, I was battling the mound.
No, it's amazing. Hey, a couple pitches here or there that are called strikes by the umpire. Maybe he's got a shot. I know.
Maybe,
you know.
But you know what? There were a couple of pitches that were called strikes that probably shouldn't be that got Fernando Tatis ejected and Mike Schilt ejected. So who knows?
Holy Schilt.
Exactly right. Trent Grisham did homer in the loss, by the way. Clark Schmidt faces former Yankee Michael King tonight on the fan with coverage at 6:25. That'll be a 7:05 start again. Probably not a shock. The Ravens release kicker Justin Tucker, who had a few years left on that four-year deal that he signed. We know what's gone on. They called this a football decision.
I didn't want to hold
So they didn't want to hold on to him like Houston held on to Deshaun Watson and pay him.
They did not. He has been cut and released. And a big night. If you are an Islander fan, how about this last night?
The winner of the 2025 NHL Draft Lottery and the first overall selection in the 2025 Upper Deck NHL Draft belongs to the New York Islanders.
Do you believe in miracles, Kenny Morrow? Because your team has pulled it off. The New York Islanders have won the NHL Draft Lottery.
And that was on ESPN. Yay! They only had, a 3% chance, right?
That's right.
How about that? Now, what do they do with that pick?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing they need to do is they need to hire somebody that's going to replace Lou Lamoriello. In other words, somebody with enormous credibility within the hockey community, somebody that can actually excite their fan base. I would think like a president of hockey operations. Then they got to go for a GM. And then they got to go, I'm assuming they're going to go for another head coach. I mean, the way that they're doing this right now is ridiculous.
What about it? Like just having the... What's his name?
Leaderless right now?
They're leaderless now.
Who's doing this again? The search?
John Collins?
John Collins.
I don't know what he's doing. I'm sure he's talking, he knows the NHL well. He knows all the people involved with the NHL. I'm sure he's talking to credible people. But, I mean, he's got to bring somebody in here that knows what the hell they're doing. And, they're going to have like two or three prospects at the top of this draft that I wouldn't say that they're Connor McDavid. I wouldn't say they're Sidney Crosby. They're not that type of player. At least they don't have that type of reputation at the moment. But there is a local kid who's at Boston College, James Higgins, and he's a tremendous player. He's 18 years old. He grew up on Long Island. He's an Islander fan. And this is the thing. Like whoever this president of hockey operations is, and whoever the GM is, and whoever the coach is, then they'll make the decision as to whether or not this kid belongs on the Islanders. It would be a perfect fit, but there are a couple of guys that probably ranked a little bit higher than him, but he's only 18 years old. And if you follow his career arc, everywhere he's been, everywhere he's played, he's been a goal scorer, he's been a point producer, he's a great skater, and he really sees the ice exceptionally well. So I would think that he would be at the top of the list, but it's going to take somebody that's legitimate to give them credibility. Like when the Rangers signed Mike Sullivan, they're all in. They're not hiring Mike Sullivan to rebuild. They are all in. They want to go win the Stanley Cup in the next couple of years. And I think the Islanders have a chance now to clean house and not a rebuild, a retool, because they got the goalie that can help win. And this is a real win for them. This is a great thing for them. It's a great thing for local hockey, too. I said the same thing about the Devils when they had Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, and the Rangers had Kapo Kakko and, of course, Lafreniere. And now the Islanders have their shot at the number one pick.
The Rangers, by the way, got the 12th pick. Maple Leafs beat the Panthers 5-4 last night.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Knicks win game one up in Boston in overtime. A crazy comeback for them. Want to talk some Knicks, 888-808-1019. So you learn a lot about fans during these times and, who is all in and who is not all in. And last night, I have to say that one Timothy Chalamet is all in with the New York Knicks. This is a guy who's at the top of his career, nominated for Oscars, Bob Dylan movie.
Are they in a lawsuit right now?
Who?
Is Timothy Chalamet in a lawsuit?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe it's not him. Maybe I'm screwing it up.
No, he could be. But anyway, so he's not at the Met Gala. He has Kylie Jenner, his girlfriend, go to the Met Gala by herself. He was scheduled to go until the Knicks schedule comes out for the second round. So he decides, you go by yourself. I'm going to hang around with my friends and watch the Knicks game.
No, is this the guy? He's not in a lawsuit. That's not the guy. Okay. I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I saw a little bit of the Mikel. I had to see Dua Lipa just so.
Sure. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. I mean, what were these people wearing last night?
Yeah, but, well, anyway.
Joe Burrow was there.
Joe Burrow was there. And so.
Did he not have a shirt on again?
Didn't look like it. So.
I wonder if I should show up to his golf tournament without a shirt on.
That would be perfect.
Look how great Saquon Barkley looks.
Yeah, Saquon, Russell Wilson, Sierra. Yeah, look at this. Yeah, unbelievable stuff there, the Jalen Hurts. But so Timothy Chalamet says, you go. I'm going to stay back and watch the Knick game. However.
Oh, he had a shirt on. Joe had a shirt on.
However, yeah. Spike Lee
at the Met Gala.
Oh,
Spike Lee at the Met Gala. Now, he was wearing a Knicks hat.
Yeah, it's not good.
But I'm telling you, this morning, Chalamet comes out of this looking great. Spike Lee, not so much.
I'm with you there, G.
Not so much.
Sierra looks great.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, of course, this thing is just one big kiss-ass fest.
Yeah.
But it is interesting seeing the athletes show up and what they're going to wear. Justin Jefferson over there, look at that. Tremendous. Yeah. Look at these guys.
We should have sent Zoo.
To the Met Gala? Shoot him with a tranquilizer dart. You kidding me?
We should have said Zoo and Gallo.
They can't. You know how?
Why not? They should have said, why not? We should have said Zoo and
Gallo.
I'm
pretty sure it's $30,000 a ticket.
A company would have paid for it.
Yeah, all right. Sure they would. Yeah. Odyssey's going to pay $30,000 a ticket.
To send Zoo and Gallo to the Met Gala? Yeah.
They wouldn't even let us send Zoo to the New York Dragons tryout.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Now they're going to pick up the tab for the Met Gala? I mean, come on. Odyssey would have to be a part of that, right?
Ugh.
I don't know what that was from, but it was pretty apropos there. But yeah, that would have been great if we sent those guys to the Met Gala. But I mean, it's just, does that money go to charity somewhere?
Yeah, I think it does. Oh, yeah. Okay. So they say.
All right.
By the way, you know, Zoo could have done his whole we here.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have wanted to go because he is a true Knick fan.
That is right. You know, and then you had, so there's a guy who works over there, Manny, who works on the Maggie and Perloff show on the Upside Down, the Infinity Sports Network. So he is huge Knicks fan, everything else. But he went to the Yankee game last night and then posted a video of him celebrating the Knicks win at Yankee Stadium.
I mean, you could go to the Yankee game and watch the Knicks game on your phone. You could do that. I don't know, Spike doing that at the Met Gala? I don't know.
No, you're not. I think you're not allowed to have your phones. I think it's one of those things. I think it's like the Masters. He was saying he was going to get updates from somebody who was allowed to have a phone, but I mean, that is a tough look, man. If you're Spike Lee, you got to be at that game. Not only do you have to be watching it, you got to be at it.
I mean, he's at a bunch of these other games, but I guess the MetLife is the most important thing in his life.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. And then people are getting criticized. Like, this could be, honestly,
yes.
This Met Gala thing could be the dumbest thing that happens in the world. So you've got people getting criticized. One, I guess Sydney Sweeney, you know, the actress.
Oh, yeah, I know Sydney Sweeney, yeah.
Right, so she was getting criticized for not being part of the theme, you know, but people just hate on her because...
What was the theme?
I think it was, I believe it was, actually, I don't know.
You don't know what the theme is, but all you know is she was actually being criticized for not being a part of the theme.
Yeah, and then
Because of what she wore?
The theme was super fine tailoring black style.
Okay,
super fine tailoring black style.
Didn't she wear a black dress?
I thought so.
Do you have to wear all black? Because Joe Burrow wore blue. Or is it black designers?
It's a good question.
What is it?
I mean, Dua was in black. But sure, I don't know. Is it supposed to be black designers?
Black design. I don't know. I mean, it looked like Sierra and Russell Wilson were in black.
Yes, they were.
Saquon Barkley was in black. Was Justin Jefferson in black?
I don't remember. But
Joe Burrow was in blue. Man, Saquon, look at how good he looks, man.
I know.
Oh my God!
He's living on top of the world right now. Russell Wilson hitting New York hard here.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts looks great. I'm assuming that's his wife.
I guess. Yep. You know. I mean, that would, no.
Oh, you got white. So who's just, that?
Justin Jefferson's in like a,
like he's a trench in the, coat. Ben, is that a trench coat he's
ben
wearing?
McAdoo suit right there. Yeah, and then there was another woman who got criticized because she was wearing Rosa Parks' face on her underwear. I guess. So people are all over her.
Would they know that was Rosa Parks' face on her underwear?
Because they zoomed in. You could see it.
See her underwear?
Yeah, they could. Yeah, because it was like see-through.
How could they see her? Oh.
Yeah, it was like see-through.
Was it like one of those cams that goes up the skirt?
No. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was, no, you could see it. You could actually. So,
okay.
Lisa is her name. She's just pop star Lisa had Rosa Parks' face on her, yeah, on her butt. So, I mean, I think she was trying to pay homage, and it didn't come out the way she was hoping. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to wear underwear with anybody's face on it. I mean,
yeah,
but that doesn't seem like a place where you'd want to be honoring somebody.
I would agree with that.
Hold on. Carol in Summit. Carol, what's happening?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're great. How are you doing today?
Good.
How about that Nick
Whittle
last night?
The theme for the Met Gala, I believe, was menswear.
Okay.
Specifically, black designers and dandyism, which is like fancy dressing up back in the 20s, I guess.
Okay.
Dandyism.
So there you go.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So the men were wearing... Carol, hold on. Is this for both men and women, or is it just for men?
I believe it's for both of them.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, so Sydney Sweeney's getting, she's getting roasted today.
Can I see what she wore?
Yeah, here you go.
Let me see.
There you go, right there. A little action over here, a little there.
Oh!
Yeah.
Why is she getting roasted?
I guess she was, I don't know.
She looks gorgeous.
Let's see. Says one ex-user, Sydney Sweeney's not on theme for the night at all. Nice gown. Beautiful gowns, though. Paying homage to a white lady when the theme is tailoring black style.
Paying homage to a white lady? I mean, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
I mean, like, they all look great. I mean, she looks amazing.
But here, the whole point...
Sierra looked amazing.
The whole point of me bringing this up was to
Spike Lee is
To throw respect to Timothy Chalamet.
Okay.
For skipping this thing. Okay. Sending his famous girlfriend out there... by herself to
that
watch the Knicks game.
That a boy.
So he gets a big check mark in my book.
Man, he looks really young.
Yeah, I know.
He's 29 years old. And he
one
looks
of those
like
baby face
18.
Guys. I know.